Bible study from A to Z. Let's pray. We'll get into it. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to get back in your Word once again. Open our hearts and minds as we open your Word and give us the understanding so that we can stand firmly on its meaning and encourage us to share that with others. We thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Our Bible study from A to Z, we're still in the word assurance. There'll be a couple more episodes of this in the word of assurance because there is so much assurance from the Word of God. Over and over we can see it, the assurance of Him as God, the assurance of His love for us, the assurance of our salvation, the assurance of resurrection, the assurance of eternal life, the assurance of a new heaven, a new earth, so much to be looking forward to, and we can find the scriptures that give us that assurance in His Word. But right now, let's look at John chapter 16. Some assurance here that He's given us in His scriptures. Something that we all need to latch on to. We'll just go with one verse right here, and this comes out of the book that we have there, our reference guide we're using. But in John chapter 16, let's look at verse 33. He caps off or finishes up his sermon to them or his preaching to them. And he says here, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That peace that he speaks of, that peace that passeth all understanding. He's given them a little word of assurance here. He's speaking to his disciples and to us, us being his disciples and his family as well now, that in him we have that peace. There's trouble out there in the world, as he says, tribulation. And it's not going to end until the judgment. Until we get into the millennial period, there'll still be a little bit of tribulation going on for those that have not died and come back with their glorified body, but are born and go into the millennial period, they'll have a little bit of tribulation because we know that at the end of that 1,000 years that Satan will be loosed for a season. So they'll have to suffer for a little bit of tribulation during that time. But basically, we that are born again can have peace even through the tribulation if we stand on God's might, stand on His Word, listen to Him, yield to Him, lean on Him, and He will give us that peace that passes all understanding. And these are the words of assurance that we have that available to us. That's one of those free gifts that's laid right out there for us to take. Way too many times people don't reach out and receive that free gift of peace that is there. If you just take it and hold on to it, the Holy Ghost will give you that within you if you are truly born again. Okay, let's go right into Acts, which is awesome because now we're getting into the assurance of the resurrection, the assurance of the ascension of Jesus Christ, and the assurance that He's going to come back again and receive us, and the assurance of the receiving of the Holy Ghost, so much that He's assuring them with right here in these few verses that He tells them right before He ascends up into heaven. And then the angels proclaiming that He's going to return in like manner. So let's pick it right up here in Acts chapter 1 in verse 1. It reads, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which He was taken up. After that, He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Within these first three verses here, we have a lot of assurances. The first part there, where He speaks of the teaching came from Jesus in the verse 1. And the things that He taught till He ascended up, and that now through the Holy Ghost. So we have the assurance that the Holy Ghost in us will teach us. We know that He is known as a teacher, known as the Spirit of Truth, that He will give us understanding. And He is in us if we just listen to that and yield to it. So we have the assurance that Jesus taught. Now the Holy Ghost teaches us. And that, as it goes on down, to whom He also showed Himself alive after His passion, which means here in verse 3 that He's speaking of the disciples that witnessed and talked to Jesus and listened to His teaching after His death, burial, resurrection. He stayed around some 40 days, as it says here, as being seen of them 40 days. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Seen of over 500 people at one time. Those are words of assurance that He did resurrect. That you have that many witnesses to His resurrection. Continuing in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of Me. Let them know, don't leave. There's something coming, like I've told you, the promise of the receiving the Holy Ghost. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Once again, words of assurance. Assurance that you would receive the Holy Ghost. These, of course, He was speaking specifically to the apostles that had not yet received the Holy Ghost, and some of the disciples as well, because it's estimated some 120 were in the upper room when they received the power of the Holy Ghost the day of Pentecost. But here we also see how it includes to all of us, where it's including and unto the uttermost part of the earth, that the preaching and teaching of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and the receiving of the Holy Ghost was going to come to all the world of those that would receive Him. Continuing in verse 9, and when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. The ascension, right there in front of them, right after He's finished is telling them that and what is coming, that they're going to be given the power of the Holy Ghost and go preach and teach through all the world, ascended right on up into the sky there, right before their eyes. When He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. Awesome words of assurance there that He is going to come back and set up His millennial kingdom in that same like manner, ascending back down to the earth. And we know that there is a resurrection, because He was resurrected, and we know that there is an ascension, because He ascended right there before them. I don't have this one on my list, but since He's mentioning here about Him coming back and the resurrection and ascension and so forth, we can throw in some verse here about the rapture, which is verses here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. More words of assurance here that we have that we are going to be raptured up, just like the example that He gave there, that He would be caught up into the clouds. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, beginning here, it reads, But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Awesome words of assurance that there will be a day of rapture when he's going to return and receive us up to be with him. All of us that have received him as Lord and Savior. All right, let's look at another one here over in Acts. Acts chapter 7, we see here a glimpse into heaven. Now, this glimpse is taken by Stephen. Stephen, a man that was filled with the Holy Ghost, preaching and teaching and spreading the gospel, comes upon a group and he's preaching this awesome sermon. If you read the rest of chapter 7 there, you can see this awesome sermon that he has preached. And then it gets to the point where he starts convicting them a little bit of what they have done. And their reaction is not to receive the Lord, but to turn away. And he says, let's pick it up in verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did. So do you, do ye. And verse 52. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law of the dispensation of angels and have not kept it? He's pointing out to this group of Jews that are around him, of the opportunity that they've been given to know the writings of the prophets, to been even given the dispensation of angels, which means the messages that were delivered to them by the angels as well, about the coming of Jesus Christ, about the arrival of Jesus Christ, about salvation and so forth. But yet they did not keep it. They didn't receive it. They didn't want to hear it. They did not want to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They resisted the Holy Ghost. So he's calling them stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. So he was bashing them pretty good. Verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut in the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They actually got hold of him and was biting him. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now, this is an awesome event taking place here. That you hear and see that Jesus Christ is not sitting on the right hand of the Father. Because that's mostly the references you have. When he ascended, he took his seat on the right hand of the Father. Here is showing his attendance, his attention to what is occurring. That he rose to his feet and gave Stephen the opportunity to see up in there, up into the heaven of heavens where God Almighty is sitting on the throne and Jesus Christ on the right hand. Him being able to see up into that moments before he gets stoned to death here. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. They didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to hear that the man that they had abused and beaten and tortured and crucified was actually the Son of God and was now standing on the right hand of the Father up in heaven. They didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to hear him proclaim that he could see into that as well. Didn't want to believe that, didn't want to receive it, didn't want to accept it. Because then they would have to know that they were sinners. They would have to know that they really messed up. Verse 58. Well, it's 57 again. Then they cried out with one loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Now, the one calling here is Stephen, calling upon God. as they're stoning him, instead of cursing those people, saying, God, kill them all. You know, look what they're doing to me. I love you and I serve you. Why is this happening to me? Why, you know, moaning and groaning and complaining? Nope. He's praising God, calling upon God, and look what he says. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Awesome testimony for Stephen, and an awesome assurance for us to know that in this moment right here, when this horrible, terrible death was coming upon Stephen, that he was given an opportunity to see what he was looking forward to being able to go right up there with God Almighty and Jesus Christ standing right there on the right hand of the Father. And as it says here, he fell asleep. Not nap time, sleep, snooze, but he died as we would consider death. He left his physical body because they stoned that to death. But when a Christian dies in that sense, they no longer call it death because we have everlasting life. When we receive Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, we are brought to life. We are quickened and we can never die. So therefore, all we're doing is shedding our physical shell, our human tabernacle, as it says, our earthly tabernacle. So it's a matter of sleep in that sense. Awesome words of assurance there that there isn't actual death for a Christian. It's merely a transition from one realm to another. That God is on the throne, that Jesus Christ is on the right hand, and that we have an opportunity to see up into that if he chooses to open it up and let us see. So lots of assurance in those events taking place right there. Right now, if you will, turn over to the book of Romans. Romans is really packed with assurance, especially in chapter 8. So let's just go ahead and hit the whole chapter 8 of Romans. In Romans chapter 8, let's pick it up right here in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That wages of sin, that price of that death that he's speaking of here is no longer a price that a Christian is going to have to pay. Because Jesus Christ paid that price for us. So we are no longer condemned by the law. If we break the law, we can hurt our relationship, our fellowship, our rewards, our comfort, our peace, our joy, our health, our prosperity. We can really mess ourselves up by breaking God's law, but we won't lose our salvation. And that's what he's talking about here, that condemnation to death, eternal death, second death is what he's referring to. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's the ones that are born again. No more condemnation. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That means those that are born again, truly born again, you have quickened, you are quickened by Jesus Christ. It means the Spirit is born again in you. You've come alive. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free, all of us, from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Could not get saved by the law because no one could keep the law completely. So that's where it failed. But Jesus Christ could bring salvation to us by him paying a price for all of our sins. Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We become spiritually minded when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, because then He creates in us a new mind. We are a new creature. The old man is dead. So therefore we are spiritually minded. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Until you become born again to be in the Spirit, you cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You receive the Holy Ghost immediately when you receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. That's all part of being born again. That's part of being saved, is receiving the Holy Ghost. If you do not have the Holy Ghost, then you're not saved. Now, these groups that teach that receiving the Holy Ghost is a secondary event is misinterpreting the event that took place back at Pentecost, where for them it was a secondary event because Jesus was still there with them. He was not going to give them the Holy Ghost full time while He was there with them. So He ascended to the Father, and then He made preparation for them to receive the Holy Ghost. And from that moment on, after that, when you become born again, you instantly receive the Holy Ghost, as we have many scriptures that refer to that. And that's what He's speaking of here. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And that's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Letting us know that we saw and knew that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Assurance that we also shall raise and have a glorified body. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Awesome. We become a joint heir. We become a child of God, one of His family. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. An opportunity to have a relationship with God Almighty that no one prior to the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ could ever have, all the way back to Adam. Adam had that, he lost it, and then from Adam all the way to Jesus Christ, nobody during all that time, even the most righteous of the prophets and so forth, had the opportunity to have this condition where they could address God as Abba, as Father, or this adoption. But now, because of what Jesus Christ has done, we are able to receive that. We are able to have that. That's why when all of those died, all that time, all the way back then, from prior to the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, all the way back to Adam himself, when they died, they went into a temporary holding spot called Sheol. In Sheol. There was one section that was for the unrighteous, the other section was for the righteous. Now, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He went down into hell, Sheol, Hades, however you want to, whichever word you want to use, the Greek, the Hebrew, or the interpretation thereof, and took captivity captive. And He ascended with them on Ascension Day, took them up to heaven. Then they became part of the family. But up until that moment, they weren't able to be part of the family. They were in a temporary holding place called Abraham's bosom. But now we, in this dispensation of time, have the opportunity to instantly become a child of God when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we will, when we leave this world, go instantly to be with Him. Not into Sheol, the temporary dwelling place of the righteous dead, because now it is with Him in paradise. We are instantly with Him, just like He told the thief on the cross, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Let's pick it back up here next time, right after we see here where it has the assurance of that we can now call Him Abba, that we are part of the family. And we'll pick it back up in Romans chapter 8 and continue this, because that is some awesome verses of assurance there that we're not just servants, we're not just disciples, but we are one of the family. A joint heir with Jesus Christ, as He continues and tells us here as we read further in this. But we'll pick it up here next time in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. Let's pray and we'll go ahead and close. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It is so powerful and so many words of assurance. We could just study the entire year on this one word here in your word. There's so much of it that tell us the assurance of our salvation, the assurance of you as God Almighty, the assurance of what we have to look forward to. Help us to be so excited about that we share that with others every opportunity that we have come across. We thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.